Amen. Let's give God thanksgiving and praise. If you celebrate your freedom today, let God know that we are free, that He has redeemed us. Amen. It is time for our word for today. So let's go to God in prayer, ask Him to punctuate our time. Amen. Heavenly God, Father, thank you, Lord. We thank you for another glorious day that you've given us. We thank you, Father, for that very simple reminder, the sun rising this morning, that you are faithful, that your hand is in control of your creation. We thank you, Father, as we come to you to hear you speak, Lord. Let me step out of the way. You speak the word for your people to hear today, Father, for their encouragement, their enlightenment, and if need be, their conviction, that we might be moved to walk in your will and be the witnesses that you called us to be, to glorify your name in good works and experience your glory. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Amen. I got a question for you this morning. Would you agree that technology has found its way into nearly every aspect of your life? I mean, especially in the developed world, right? We talk about first world problems. But nowhere is the effects of how technology has found its way into our lives more apparent than in how we interact with each other, with relationships. And this is especially true of the younger generation, right? Because if you're a person of a certain age, right, I'll put up some good money that at one time or another, you made the complaint, I don't get these young people. They always on their phone. Right? And there's a good chance that even at a certain age, you are too. On social media, right? FaceTiming with no headphones on, like we all want to hear what you got to say to somebody. All right, I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about the person next to you, amen? But the thing is, the most significant aspect of technology's influence on how we interact with each other is relationships, right? Particularly amongst the younger generation, because that's how they interact with each other. See, in a March 2024 article in Psychology Today, Dr. Kyle Killian says, he was pointing to research that says millennials are the loneliest generation. They are the most connected, disconnected generation ever. But the thing is, we have that same problem as Christians. But it's not because of technology. Our problem is that we become disconnected from God. And I would submit that that's a much more serious problem than anything that being on social media will cause. And it winds up manifesting itself in your life in a lot of different ways. Right? Like being a Christian atheist. You say you believe in Christ, but you live like you don't exist. Or being frustrated at what God's purpose for your life. I want to know what God's will is for me. Why am I here? Right? There's a whole we do a whole session on it. What on earth am I here for? Right? So for a few minutes, I want to talk to you about how you can fix that. In a message called How to Experience God, the Creator and Giver of Life. Now our text for this morning is found in Micah 4:2 and in Isaiah 55:8. But my first point, to experience God, you must go to the house of God where the people of God gather. Now don't get it twisted. Pastor has told us many, many times, it's not about the building. Amen? It's about the people. Now, see, even though Micah was an Old Testament prophet, he is not writing about a building. He's not writing about a temple. He's not even really writing about a mountain. See, Micah is making prophecy that is more like, even though it's Old Testament, his prophecy is more like Revelation 22 than Exodus 20. Amen? So he says in the first part of verse 4:2, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Right? That's the first part. The early church didn't have houses of worship, right? They only had each other's house, and sometimes not even that. So let me repeat, it's not about the building. When we go up to the house of the Lord, it's not about the building. It's about who is in the building. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus' words, not mine. Whenever two or more are gathered in my name, what? There I am among them. Wherever the people of God gather to worship, be it a church, a school, a homeless shelter, or some park benches, that place becomes the house of God because the presence of God is there. Micah's exhortation to go up to the house of the Lord, and he's saying, we have to go to the house of the Lord and not wait for God to come all the way down to us. Right? He wants us to go to his presence. The exhortation is to go to the house of the Lord. Well, the house of the Lord is wherever God is. And it's wherever we find ourselves in the presence of God. Because it's not about the building. We come because we want to commune with the Holy Spirit together. But you could commune with the Holy Spirit in your prayer closet. You could commune with the Holy Spirit on a hike in Memorial Park. Wherever you usher yourself into the presence of God, that is the house of God, and that is where the people of God gather. Amen. But God says we must go up to the Lord and not wait for God to come down. God's already come to meet us. He's already taken that step halfway. Look in the sky. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. He shows himself to us all the time through his creation. So he's already made that first step. He's saying, hi, I'm here. But if we don't go to him, we stay disconnected. Because God's a gentleman. He doesn't go wherever he's not invited. Jeremiah 29:13, he says, if you seek me with your whole heart, then what? Oh, you will find me. God lets us know he's there. But if we want to experience God, we have to make a step and meet him halfway. Right? God lets us know he's there. But he wants us to have relationship with us. We have to seek him and invite him into our lives. For the person that doesn't know Jesus, this is when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But for the person who knows Jesus already, it's when you realize, I need to know him better. It's the presence of God where the people of God gather, not a building. My second point, to experience God. When you get to the house of God, you must hear and be taught the word of God. When you experience God in worship and prayer, and we heard it in the testimony. We heard it in Sister Faye's testimony. When you go to God and experience his presence, he speaks to you. And he can tell you how he wants to accomplish his will through you. And this is why we have praise and worship time at the beginning of service, so that we can put our hearts and minds in a place where we usher ourselves into the presence of God to hear what he has to say to us. Contrary to popular belief, it's not so that you could be 20 minutes late for service and not miss the word. This is our time to prepare our hearts and our minds to receive what God is going to reveal to us. Same thing, why it's the same reason why you should pray before you read the Bible, because God speaks to us in his word, and God has a word for you every time we open the book. Why? Because that's how he tells us who he is. If you were going on a date, I know for some of y'all it might have been a while, but that's okay. Think about to that time when, you know, when you first saw, you know, when you first saw that person, you said, ooh, child. Right? And she said she wanted to go out. Now, if you showed up looking like you just finished working out and smelling like it, or like you just got through digging ditches or something, there's probably not much chance of relationship happening there, right? When you go into the presence of God, do you want to go into the presence of God dragging all your stuff from the world? Or do you want to prepare your mind and your heart to be in the presence of the Almighty? You got to bring your heart and your mind into his presence to receive him. Because when you don't do that, you wind up looking for a burning bush experience. You wind up getting caught in all kind of mysticism. Oh, God doesn't speak to me. Why? Because you're looking for Moses' experience. And at the same time, you are missing that still, small voice of the Holy Spirit that lives inside every believer. The B part of our text is that he may teach us his ways. If you know Jesus, think back to when you accepted Christ into your life. Did you just wake up one day and say, ooh, I'm going to be a Christian today? No. You heard a word somewhere. Somebody shared the gospel with you. You heard a word. And the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart. And you accepted Christ into your life. Do you really think that God stopped talking to you that way? Or are you waiting for a burning bush? Are you throwing a fleece out, waiting to see if it's going to be dry on one day and wet the other? Are you looking? What did Jesus say? Oh, this wicked generation looking for a sign. Only one sign will be given to you, and that's the sign of Jonah. Well, guess what? Like Maestro sang, they stretched him wide. And they put him down, and he already got up, so you've had your sign. Now it's time to listen, because he's speaking. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in every believer for exactly that purpose. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith is essential. Not just for salvation, but for maintaining a relationship with God. Because you cannot experience God without being in a relationship with him. And even more specific, you cannot experience God without being in a love relationship with him. So if you haven't heard from God, it's because maybe instead of looking for the burning bush, you might remember your first love. Right? And faith is important in that, because as Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of, wow, those who seek him. And he says, if you seek me with your whole heart, not just some of it, you will find me. So to experience God, we go up to the house of God, where the people of God gather. And when we get to the house of God, we must be taught the word of God. And after we hear the word of God, to experience God, my third point is you must learn the ways of God. See, because when you experience God, in his word, he reveals his character. You gain appreciation for who he is. So I'm going to ask you another question. Is there anything impossible for God? No, really, is there? No? Nothing's impossible for God? Think so? Sure about that? It is impossible for God to do anything that is contrary to his character. God does not lie. God does not change his mind. God, he doesn't lie. Why? Because he is truth. He is not fickle. He doesn't change his mind. Why? Because I am the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. He is the I am, not the I might be. When he reveals his ways of character and his character, we learn that why asking God why? God, why did this happen? Why did you allow this? When we learn his character and we learn his nature, when we experience God, we learn that asking God why is probably the most least productive question we could ever answer. And Isaiah says it so eloquently in Isaiah 58:5, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts from yours. We have to experience God so that we can be taught his word. And so that we can see who he is and learn his ways. Why? Why is that important? Because there's a lot of other gods out there. And we don't want our view to get distorted. We go and we experience God so that we can go to the word of God, and we're taught in the word of God so that we can recognize false teachers. We learn God's ways, we learn his word, so that we can recognize false gods and not fall into the trap of idols. Oh, idols. Yeah, that's not just an Old Testament thing. We struggle with idols now. TikTok. People losing their minds over, ooh, this app might disappear from my phone. What am I going to do? People, whether it's your politics, and it doesn't matter whether you red or blue, left or right, there are people who look and seek political power instead of seeking God. And some of them call themselves Christians too. Idols. We don't experience God, then we become vulnerable to a distorted view. So, to experience God, we must go to the house of God where the people of God gather. When we get to the house of God, we have to learn his word. And after we hear his word, we must learn his ways. And finally, to experience the ways of God, after you've learned the ways of God, you must walk in the will of God as a witness. See, God reveals his person, his will, and his ways in his word. Why? Because anyone that's taken PDL knows this, he has a purpose for your life. If you participated in a purpose-driven life group, you learned that, right? You learned all about how God has shaped you for ministry, and God's using your spiritual gifts. If you're a believer in Christ, the gift that he gave you when you accepted Christ, plus all your abilities and stuff, right? You learned all about that. But here's the rub. God has a purpose that he has specifically shaped you for. But how do you know what it is? How do you learn what that purpose is? Go back and look at the go back and look at the Bible. Look at all the characters in the Bible. Think about them. Abraham, Mary, Noah, David, Paul. God gives them a very specific instructions. Do you think that God has stopped giving people very specific instructions? He's I am, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He talks to us the same way he talks to Abraham. He talks to us the same way Jesus met Paul on the Damascus Road. Go read Acts 9. What did he do? He knocked him down. He went blind with the light. And then he said, he says, Paul goes, who are you? He says, I'm Jesus, who you're persecuting. Go into the city and you'll be told what to do. Right? And then he goes to Ananias. Ananias. Saul is sitting over in the house over there on the third block by the street, by the shore. There's a man named Saul there who's praying. I have chosen him as my instrument to give the gospel to the Gentiles. Go and pray with him. God gives very specific instructions. Gabriel appeared to Mary. You are favored amongst women. You will bear the Savior of the world. Unless you experience the presence of God and you're taught by God and you learn his ways, he can't tell you what he wants you to do. And that's the third part of our text, that he may teach us his ways in Micah 4:2. We go to the house of the Lord so that we may learn his ways, that we might walk in his paths. God gives us very specific instructions. Now, when God gave these people in the Bible very specific instructions, you know what they did? What did they do? Well, in every instance, each person that God told what he was going to do through them, they adjusted their lives to God's purpose and will. Even if some of them did it after some objection, they set aside their worldly aspirations and aligned themselves with God's will. Even if it meant that they were going to go through some hardships. Right? In other words, God gave them instructions, he revealed his purpose to them, and in response, they activated their yes and they said, I will. And when they did that, their lives were transformed. Abram became Abraham, father of nations. Noah became the father of man. Right? David went from being a shepherd to being a king, from whose line would come Jesus Christ. And Mary, she went from being a carpenter's wife to being blessed amongst women and favored by God. Paul went from being Saul, the persecutor of the church, to the spreading of the gospel and the first missionary of the Christian way and the author of 2/3 of the New Testament. When you experience God in his word and through the Holy Spirit, he will tell you his purpose for his life. For instance, in his word, he tells us the general purpose for the life of every believer. That's right there, Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be first amongst many brethren. Right? It doesn't take a lot of mental gymnastics to see this is God telling you, this is the purpose I had for all y'all in the beginning. In the beginning, Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image. But then in Genesis 3, man messed it up. Sin enters the world through Adam. Now we can't have that relationship because God is, he's not only truth, but he is righteousness. And he can't stand the presence of sin. So he redeemed us. Right? He created man in his own image, but sin distorted it. He redeems us by sending his own son to the cross, so he takes the nails, so he took the nails, so you and I didn't have to. He redeemed you and me so that we could experience God and be in a love relationship with him. And when you experience God by doing that, you go into his presence, you learn his word and his will and his ways, and your life changes. All of a sudden, you'll have peace. As you experience God, you start having peace when the world says you should have chaos. All of a sudden, you find out that you're not alone, because where you go, I'm walking God deep. You find out when you activate your will, you say, yes, I will follow your will. You become salt and light. You learn how to be, you know how to show grace with difficult people because you remember the grace that God showed you. And when you go deeper in that relationship, you go, he reveals more and you learn more. Until one day, after all this adjustment of your life to fit his purpose, he finally reveals to you his full glory. And he says to you, well done, my child. Welcome home. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this word of encouragement for us to experience you. Let us receive your word. Let it go forth and accomplish the purpose that you sent it. That we would glorify your name in your will. It's in Jesus' name we say amen.